On the week surrounding Remembrance Day, we reflect on the past. We listen to stories of oppression and liberation. We are reminded that our present-day freedoms are the result of a costly perseverance. Now, I'm not a history buff. I leave that to Amy. But I always enjoy those historical moments provided on the inside front page or sometimes the inside back page of the Vancouver Sun or Globe and Mail. Here is one of those reprinted snapshots taken in Vancouver from November 11th, 1918. 1918, the Vancouver Sun. Armistice signed. No two words that ever came over the wire caused such a magical transformation and spontaneously joyful outburst. In less time than it takes to tell it, the half-deserted streets were teeming with hastily aroused but wildly enthusiastic citizens who gave vent to their long pent-up feelings with hearty cheers, innumerable congratulations. Whistle after whistle and bell after bell took up the paean of praise and thankfulness. The celebration was on. Sometimes I imagine what it would be like to be there in the midst of such a party. It must have been incredible. And yet my envy is tempered by so many other war images and war stories, all the pain and perseverance that it took to end the war. In his book, When Your Number's Up, historian Desmond Morton describes with great detail the agony endured by Canadians who fought in the Great War. In his chapter on trench warfare, Morton notes that soldiers often remembered artillery bombardment as the most terrifying experiences. I mean, they just sat helpless as the explosions came nearer and nearer and nearer. Listen to this firsthand description of mealtime. This is mealtime from Private Edward Foster. The concussion made me sick, and I sat there on my knees with a piece of meat between my teeth for possibly 15 minutes. All the while, 8 more shells cracked the trench all around and very nearly covered me with dust and dirt. A little dog came to the top of the trench to look at me while I was supposed to be having my dinner, and the concussion of a shell hurled the dog right through the air on top of me. I threw the dog out and continued eating between bursts of shells, even if there was sand on my bread. On Remembrance Day, we reflect on the past. We listen to stories of oppression and liberation. We are reminded that our present-day freedoms are the result of costly perseverance, the culmination of countless decisions to continue on a difficult path. In today's gospel reading, Jesus brings up the topic of freedom, and he offers liberation to listeners that the gospel describes as people who had believed in him. That's key to understanding this passage. This is people who had believed in Jesus. They are portrayed as having faith in Christ, right? And yet Jesus' offer of freedom is sort of taken as an affront. These so-called followers don't see themselves as captives. They were children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, the kings of Israel. And they believed themselves to be at least inwardly free. And so they ask Jesus, "Hey Jesus, what do you mean by saying you will be made free?" probably everyone surprised, Jesus doesn't start talking about Rome and its occupation of Israel. Jesus talks about sin and its occupation of our hearts. He claims that everyone who commits sin is a captive needing liberation. Now, it's not that Jesus didn't notice the present-day tyranny. He lived under the social injustices of Rome like the rest of them. But Jesus had this deep insight, this knowledge that there was a deeper oppression going on, deeper, wider than Rome's oppression, going on inside each and every heart. Whether you're a child of Abraham or whether you're the son of the Roman emperor, everyone is infected by sin. Sin? Well, just to be clear, Jesus isn't talking about jaywalking or late-night snacks. Jesus is talking about those thoughts and behaviors that alienate us from God and estrange us from each other. Pride and envy, greed, anger, lust. Sins are destructive habits, patterns of life which, if we let them take control of us, unravel all that is good in our lives and end up destroying, decimating everything around us. Jesus suggests to these so-called followers around him that despite their goodly heritage, despite their inner sense of freedom, that they have a problem with sin. More importantly for them, more importantly for us, Jesus declares that he knows, that the Son knows the pathway to freedom. Interesting. Liberation from sin. Now that would be something worth celebrating. News worth posting on Facebook or yelling down the streets with a bullhorn. And yet from my experience, it seems that few people in the church, pastors included, have experienced the sort of freedom and liberation that Jesus is talking about. Well, could it be that Jesus doesn't deliver on his promises? Could it be that we are like those first listeners, that we simply don't see our need? Or could it be that our failure to experience such rescue and liberation has something to do with a failure to stick with Jesus, to remain with Jesus, to abide with him? That we are somehow content with forgiveness when Jesus has even bigger plans to make us whole. Now, those of us who know the gospel story recognize that the freedom Jesus offers is the result of a costly perseverance, an obedience to God that culminates in abandonment by friends, abuse by authorities, and a terrible death on a Roman cross. To offer this freedom, Jesus makes the ultimate sacrifice. But to find this freedom, to welcome it and embrace it, demands our commitment and perseverance as well. I mean, listen to the text. Jesus says to any would-be followers, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Most of us hear Jesus' offer and we think it's appropriated by some brief ritual act. Maybe a baptism, or a profession of faith, or walking the sawdust trail and saying the sinner's prayer. We participate in these rituals and welcome God's forgiveness. But then we wait and wonder why we don't seem to be living in the freedom Jesus talked about. We wonder why we are still struggling with those old problems, why we keep missing the mark, when it comes to our relationships with God and our families and our friends? Well, according to John, being liberated by Jesus means more than just claiming his name, but actually following him. According to John, perseverance is the mark of true faith, of real disciples. A genuine believer remains in Jesus' word. Glorious consequences are promised, but such faith requires total and enduring commitment. You are holed up in your bunker. It's deep and it's solid, firm. Enemy shells have been raining down on you, pounding on your position for hours, but that bunker was built right and it remains firm. The defenses haven't been breached. You feel safe and sound, at least as much as you could in a war. But then all of a sudden, another soldier appears. Uh-oh, it's an officer. And I left the rest up. Oh. I try, right? Okay, so let's get back into that space. Shell's coming down, but you're secure. As secure as you can imagine yourself in the middle of a war, all of a sudden an officer appears, and he dusts off his shoulders, he pulls off his helmet, calls everyone, gather around, I got some news. He explains that while the bombardment is continuing, that the enemy is actually on retreat, and that he wants everyone to climb out of that bunker to chase down that retreating enemy and to get things done. Move out, he orders. But everyone kind of hesitates. No one's feet are moving to follow. I mean, you're looking across, you see the fear in the eyes of those around you, and you feel it right in your gut. Well, the officer sees the hesitation and notices that fear. And with a smile, he grabs the shoulder of you and the guy standing next to you, and he says, "Don't worry. I know the way. It will be okay. Just follow me." Just follow me. Maybe we need to rethink our journey with Jesus. Could it be that Jesus is calling us to a deeper commitment? And could it be that the path that he is leading us on, will direct us to a freedom that we never imagined was possible? May God give us grace and courage to follow. May we remain in his word. May we abide with him. Amen.